turned into almost family that we never had, had a terrible accident a few days ago that's left him paralyzed. He's in hospital here in Thunder Bay. But you know, I was thinking as I was sat there tonight and I was preparing what we're going to speak tonight, in spite of all of that, God is still good. God is still good. God is still on the throne. He is still our Father. He still loves us. In spite of what's taking place in the world, in spite of the economy, in spite of the immorality, in spite of what's taking place, God is still good. It hasn't changed him one little bit. And there's nothing that will change him or can change him. He is still good, and he still loves us. He is a good Father. He is a good God. And I am so thankful for that. It's not his love and his goodness and his kindness and his grace and everything that he is and everything that he does for us is not based upon us, but it's based upon his goodness. It's based upon who he is. You see, he doesn't just show love. He doesn't just give love. He doesn't just radiate goodness from him. He is love. He is goodness. He is peace. But for him, there would be no love. But for him, there'd be no goodness. It all comes from him because that's his nature. That's who he is. And it doesn't matter what goes on in the world around us. It doesn't matter what takes place in our families, in our communities, in the world, as a whole. It doesn't change who he is. Our faith has to be fixed and grounded in him. There is nothing else solid. There is nothing else unchangeable. There is nothing else that will stay the same yesterday, today, and forever. But praise God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And you know, we've all faced, and we all go through rough times, and we all go through difficult things in our life. Because we're born again, because we've accepted Christ, don't make us immune to that stuff. We live on a hurt with a curse, and things happen like that. But we have one that we can go to. And when the doctor says one thing, when the doctor says here's the situation, we know what God's word says. And we stand up on God's word and we take that as the first place, the first authority, and the greatest thing in our lives. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. All right. That's not what I'm speaking on. Okay. Had to get that out there. It was just on my heart and it had to go. I'm Craig. I'm better known as Pastor Steve's dad around there. So I don't mind being known as Pastor Steve's dad. I am so proud of my son. I'll let you know that right now. And I'm excited and happy to be known as Pastor Steve's dad. And I think that's absolutely marvelous, absolutely wonderful. All right, if you got your Bibles, go to Ephesians. We're going to the first chapter of Ephesians tonight. I got to look at the time. Okay. And we're going to look at some things, actually 9 things that God has done for us in the first chapter of Ephesians. So I'll take about 15 minutes for each one, so 9:15. So I'll have you out of here by 9:30, I think. Something like that. No, we won't be that long. We'll get through here pretty good. We're going to start right in verse 1 of Ephesians, and we're going to go on down through, look at some other scripture as well. Chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul starts in with some of those 9 blessings that we're going to look at. And in verse 3 he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Who has blessed us with all, nothing left out, all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. One commentator said, these blessings are the pure doctrines of the gospel and the full graces and gifts of the Spirit which are necessary in the work of God among men. Everything that we need tonight to be successful in this Christian life, everything that we need to carry out the plans and the purposes that God has for each one of us, he has blessed us with and he has given it to us. He hasn't left anything out. It says they're all spiritual blessings. Let me tell you something. None of those spiritual blessings, none of those things that he's talking about has passed away. None of them is gone. It's all there for us tonight, just as Paul had back here when he wrote Ephesians. It hasn't changed. Everything is ours. I want to look at a couple of examples in the book of John. And this will tie in some with what Kelly talked about tonight. Kelly was talking about prayer. There are many, 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 many spiritual blessings that's covered here in this, but I want to read a couple of portions of scripture. John chapter 16 and verse 23 and 24. And Jesus is talking about prayer. He's talking to his disciples here. He said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, or up until now, have you asked nothing my name, ask and you shall receive, your joy may be full." So here's Jesus talking to his disciples. He's on this earth, and he's telling them, up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Well, it wouldn't have done him any good to ask anything in his name up until after the cross. Up until after Jesus had went to the cross, said he had died, he had carried his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he had placed it on the mercy seat of heaven, and he became our high priest at the right hand of the Father, right hand of God. So at this time, he's saying to the disciples, the time is going to come, guys. You ask in my name. You ask in my name, and whatever you ask in my name, the Father is going to do for you. That's one of the spiritual blessings we've been given. There is a proper order to prayer. And that proper order to prayer is to the Father in Jesus' name. So when we go before the Father with our requests, we're going there with the right to use the name of Jesus. And when one of us, don't ever see yourself as not worthy, as not good enough, as not, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, when you go into your prayer closet, when you go and you ask the Father for something, you go there in my name. And it's just the same as Jesus himself standing before the Father and say, "Father, I got this need that I need met. Will you look after that for me?" And the Father looks at his son and says, "Yeah, done." When we go to the Father, it's the same thing in Jesus' name. We're using his name in the presence of the Father. And the Father will answer that prayer for us. And that is the correct biblical order of prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. John chapter 14. Chapter 15, verse 16. He says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Same thing again. That's prayer to the Father in Jesus' name, the correct order for prayer. That's what Jesus taught. I want to go to another. This is an interesting one. Another verse, portion of scripture. And it's John chapter 14. This is not prayer. I might shock you when I say that. This verse is not prayer. This is something different. I've read that for a long time and looked at all those as prayer. This one's not. Let me explain. Let me get myself out of trouble there. John chapter 14, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." You see the difference? "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do." If you notice the other two, whatsoever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, the Father is going to do. The first two we read, the order of prayer. This one is using the name of Jesus in the situation. "Whatsoever," he says right here, "ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." If you look at that verse of scripture and you dig into it a little bit, the hask, and I may not get the pronunciation right, but the hask in this version of scripture is aiteo, A-I-T-E-O in the Greek. In the first two portions of scripture I read, it's E-R-O-T-A-O, different Greek word. Totally different Greek word. When you're going, actually the Greek word when you're going to the Father in Jesus' name, you're going almost in an equal standing. And not almost, you are in an equal standing when you go there and you're going with that request to the Father. So it's like a king speaking to a king for something. This one here, in this verse of scripture, this ateo, A-I-T-E-O, "whatsoever ye shall ateo in my name, that will I do." If you look that up in the Greek, that is really stronger than a hask. That is a demand or a claim. So you're going and you're looking at a situation and it looks like there's no way through. You're not going to the Father in Jesus' name, but you're looking at that situation. In the name of Jesus, you cease and desist and get out of there. That's using the name of Jesus. That's using the name of Jesus. That's the authority that he's given us. That's the power that he's given us. That's one of the spiritual blessings that he's given us. And I want to give you that for an example. There are so many we could go through. We could be here till 7:30 tomorrow morning looking at them. There are so many different examples in Scripture of the spiritual blessings that he has blessed us with, the things that he's given us. And it says right here in this verse, let me go back to Ephesians. It says here in Ephesians, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And what he's saying, everything that's operating in the heavenly realm, everything that's operating in my presence, everything that I have done and paid for and took, looked after and taken care of you, everything that's operating here in heaven. That's why when the disciples said, teach us to pray, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He has given us the authority. He has given us, he has blessed us. We're bringing heaven to earth. He has given us that authority to take what's in the heavenly realm and to bring it down here and use it in this life so we can walk and stand in victory. Is everything going to be perfect? Everything going to be sunshine? No. If everything was going to be perfect and sunshine, we probably wouldn't need most of this. There's a devil on the loose. There's a fallen world we're living in. But he has given us the tools. He has given us the authority. He has given us the standing to go and to undo the works of the enemy and to live victorious in this life. Not because of the circumstances, but in spite of the circumstances. We serve a good God. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I told you it was going to be 15 for each one. I'll try to shorten it up a little. All right, verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, and without blame before him. He has chosen us. How does it feel to be chosen? How does it feel to be chosen? I tell you, it feels good to be chosen by the Creator of the universe. We have been chosen tonight. We have been called out. There has been a purpose assigned for each one of our lives. Everyone in this room tonight, God has a specific plan and purpose for your life. He has chosen you to be on the face of this earth at this particular time because in August of 2022, there's a work to be done that only you can do. And he has chosen us, he has placed us here to do this, that work at this particular time. Go to, 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. In 2 Timothy 1:9 it says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's all about him, guys. Not according to our works. Not according to our works. We can't work it up. We can't do it. But praise God, he can. Praise God, he's in us. He's the one that's living inside of us. He's the one that's planned and purposed our life and gave us a holy calling. He has separated us. He has set us apart to be the sons and daughters of God and to do the work that he's called us to do. We had an evangelism class here in the third year of Bible school. And, you know, one of the things that got mentioned going through that was we were talking about sharing the gospel and going with the gospel in the community and around the world. We are unique in that aspect because we are the ones called to do that. God didn't call angels. The time's going to come, if I understand end times correctly in eschatology, the time's going to come when angels are going to preach the gospel. But it's not in this dispensation. It's not now. Angels are not going to do that right now. We have been given that charge to go. We have been commissioned. We are the ones called to go with the gospel and to share the gospel. We have been separated with a purpose. We have been separated to go, share the good news of Jesus. We have been separated to be salt and light to this earth and to change the atmosphere around us. We have been separated to change our communities. We have been separated to bring God on this earth. We have been separated to bring heaven down. We have been separated to bring love and joy and peace and everything, the fruit of the recreated born-again human spirit that's talked about in Scripture. Everything that Jesus is, everything that God is, we are the ones to bring it to this earth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of us, we can change our communities. We can change the atmosphere and the places that we live and bring Jesus on the scene. And bring miracle-working power on the scene. If you notice, everywhere in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, all the way up through history since then, in this present day, everything that have taken place is through men and women. Everything that God does is through men and women. Everything that God does is through His church, through the blood bought, those who have a relationship with Jesus. He works through us. He has separated us. He has called us. We are chosen vessels of His. He has chosen us. Number three, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. There's been probably small wars fought over that verse in the Christian world. One commentator puts it this way, and I want to read it. I got it written down there. Ere God has predestinated all children of God to be adopted into His family, but who becomes a child of God is left up to each individual. So we have been, the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish. John 3:16, He loved the world, He came for all, and He wants everyone born again, everyone into the family of God, but we have that decision to make. And He brings us into the family. He adopts us into that family. He makes us part of His family. He says, come sit at my table. Come and share everything that I have. Come and take part in everything that I got. We know a little bit, I don't know if Ray is there, we know a little bit about adoption. Now, she's not there, so I'm going to talk about it. She'll probably hear me anyway. We know a little bit about adoption. Well, outside of Ray, we've adopted, I think, 6 dogs from all over the world. If that counts. Back in, Glenda, 2000? Well, Araya was born in 2000. 2001. Yeah, it was, 2001. We went to Thailand and brought home this beautiful little girl. And, you know, that done something inside my heart that I don't know what else could do. Nothing else could do it. And I began to realize over the years that ensued after that. We took this little girl from Thailand. We prepared everything, got her ready to come, done everything, went through goodness knows how much stuff. And finally the time came to go and get her. She didn't know anything about it at the time. She couldn't make any plans for it. She wasn't getting ready for it. You know, she didn't know. She couldn't make that decision. But we adopted her. The moment, I'll always remember, I picked her out of a crib in Thailand and picked her up in my arms. From that moment on, she was in our family. She had got the same standing in our family as Pastor Steve got. No difference. No difference. All the children got the same standing. Whatever she wants at dad's and mom's is hers. Nothing can, there she is. Nothing can change that. It's hers. It's hers. She's been adopted into the family. And as because she's adopted into the family, she's taken our name. She got the same last name. She's still got a Thai first name, but she got the same last name. She has all the rights and privileges that children born into the family have. Doesn't make any difference. We don't see it any different, and it doesn't make any difference. It's all the same. It's all the same. On the spiritual side of that, it says right here that we have been adopted into the family of God. The Bible tells us we were once outside. We were strangers to the promises of the covenant. We were way outside all of that. We were lost, couldn't find our way. But we have been brought in. We have been made children of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are in that family. And we got rights to go and sit down at the table. A table that's been spread down through the ages with every spiritual blessing that you can think of. Everything that we need for this life here to live it victoriously and for eternity to come has been given to us. It's ours. And we pull up to that table and we sit down and we take out our fork and knife and we just dig in and enjoy it. And the best is yet to come. The dessert is coming. The dessert is coming. The best is yet to come. We've been adopted into the family of God. Whew. Jesus himself tonight is your elder brother. Think about that. The one, Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in John. And we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That one tonight who was present at creation. That one who was there when all this came into existence. That one that was there when God created man and bred into him the bread of life is your elder brother tonight. In the natural, I never had a brother, never had a sister, just me. I broke the mold. Just me. But praise God, I got a elder brother. I got a elder brother. He is seated in the heavens tonight at the right hand of God, at the place of power in this universe. And he is seated there and he loves me and he cares for me and he's interceding for me. He's got my back. And anything that comes my way, any issue I got, I can go and talk to my elder brother. And he said to me, hey, Craig, you can go and use my name and get this straightened out. You can get this looked after. If I had a elder brother tonight on this earth that was in some place of power in government or somewhere, then I could probably go to him and get stuff done and get stuff straightened away and get stuff looked after. But let me tell you something. I got a elder brother tonight that's greater and more powerful than any person on the face of this planet. And he loves me. And he cares for me. And each one of you are in the same family. You're in the same family. He's your elder brother. You're his little brother or his little sister. And he loves you tonight. And he wants the best for you. And he's there for you. And he's just waiting for you to reach out and say, hey, I need this, I need that, I need something else. And he tells us here in his word, just use my name. Just use my name. The devil coming at you with something, the devil tempting you with something, the devil trying to get you there, just use my name. I whipped him 2,000 years ago and he don't forget it. Just use my name, I'm there for you. Amen? Predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. I like that. The good pleasure of his will. Oh, what a spot to be in the good pleasure of his will. What a place to be tonight. Number four, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in the beloved. That is awesome. Let me give you a couple of examples of accepted in the beloved, of what the beloved is. I used to read that and I wonder, the beloved, how do you define that, the beloved? And then one day it hit me, how do you define that? Because scripture tells us. If you've got a question about something, just look to the scripture. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 3. I'll give you an example of the beloved. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And this is Jesus when he went down to be baptized of John in the river Jordan. In verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Go to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. And they're probably getting it up on the screen faster than I can find it here in my Bible. Matthew 17, verse 5. Mount of Transfiguration. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said this, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. John 17. Go to John chapter 17. Now, I want you to notice the company that we're in here. God is telling Jesus, you're my beloved Son. You're my beloved Son. You're my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Go to John, chapter 17, verse 23. We got it up here. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and look at that last line, and have loved them as you have loved me. Let that sink in. Let me read that last bit again. and I've loved them as you have loved me. And I've loved them as you have loved me. Do you know tonight? We are in the beloved. We are in the beloved. God loves each one of you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you said today. It doesn't matter what you've done today. You can't change that love. You can step outside of the will of God for your life. You can step outside and run away from the purposes that he has for you. But you cannot change the love that he has for you. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. And there's some things God can't do. And this is one of the things God can't do. He can't change that. Because he is love. He is love. If God didn't love you, his throne would fall. Because he's love. All truth is in him. All life is in him. All light is in him. And all love is in him. That's who he is. We are in the beloved. We are in the beloved. He has made us, here in Ephesians, accepted in the beloved. We have been accepted in the beloved. What a place to be. What a place to be. You know, when I was younger, much younger, grown up, in Newfoundland, fishing with my dad, out in boat, and a lot of it was inshore fishing in smaller boats. And sometimes in the fall of the year, we'd be in September, October, November, we'd be fishing herring and mackerel, and it's bad weather that time of the year, but you're in the bays, and the boats were small, and many times you'd have to go in some little cove somewhere, and you'd wait until the wind dropped out, until everything settled down, so you could go back out again. Later years, we had bigger boats fished offshore, that didn't apply, but the smaller boats, that's what we'd done. And we'd go in that little cove, it would be bad outside, boy, it just wasn't fit to be out there, and we'd go into this little cove, and it was peace and comfort and security, and we were in this little harbor, in this little cove, away from the storm. Here's what we are here. We are in the beloved. We are in the beloved. We are in that place with Jesus. That's what Psalm 91 talks about. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We are in that place. We are in the beloved. We are loved by God. And no devil in hell can change that or separate it from us. And we can't change it. We are there. We are there, no matter what. And when the devil comes against you with something, something comes along in your life. And he's telling you, now it's no use. Look at the mess you've made. Look what you've done. You say to yourself, hey, Mr. Devil, I'm in the beloved. I'm in the beloved. I'm in that place. I'm in that spot with God Almighty. And he loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. I am in there. That'll radically change your life when you get a hold of that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the circumstances is. Lie down and have a good night's sleep. It doesn't matter. You're in the beloved. You're in the beloved. It's going to be fine. It's going to work out fine. It's going to be okay. Our elder brother got our back. He's given us the use of his name. Our father loves us as much as he loves our elder brother. We are in the beloved. Praise God. Amen? Number 5. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption. We have been redeemed. Redemption is the price paid for us so that we could be adopted. Redemption is what the adoption cost. It was the cost of the adoption. We have been redeemed. We have been paid for. We have been bought with a price. Everything that Jesus done in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and seating at the right hand of the Father was for us. It was the price paid for our redemption so we could come into the family, so we could be part of the family of God and be members of the greatest family in the universe. We got a elder brother tonight, but we also got a heavenly Father who loves us. And we're part of that family. We've been brought in there, into the family of God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We have been redeemed. I'm not going to take time to go there, but in Hebrews, it talks about in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, when they sinned, they had to go to the priest and an animal was slain. They do it once a year for the nation, and then they do it different times for individual sins, and the blood would cover. It would cover the sin. That's the way it took place in the Old Testament. Praise God, in the New Testament, where we're the day that we're living in. This is what the Bible talks about angels long to look into and see. This is what the Bible talks about the prophets of old long for that day, wanted to see it. We are living that. We are in the greatest dispensation. We are in the greatest day this world has ever known. We are alive in it because not did Jesus' blood not just cover our sins, it remitted our sins. It's gone forever. There's no record on the page. It's gone. It's not covered. It's gone. It's no longer there. We have been redeemed. The price has been paid. Let me talk about Araya again for a minute. In Thailand, she don't remember, but she was 17, 18 months old, 17 months old at the time. There's not one thing she could do. Not one thing she could do in that situation. She was there. I remember walking in the room. I think, Glenda, there was 23 cribs in the room. You just slid by, like, this way to the room, got to the cribs. Not one thing they could do. They were there. Praise God. Someone came along and paid the price. Someone did the work. I remember on some, like, endless home studies and visits from social workers and even social workers on the other side in Asia, and documentation and immigration and all this stuff. There was a never-ending flow of paperwork. I remember once in Newfoundland, we went to what's known as Confederation Building, the seat of the provincial government, the equivalent of Queen's Park in Ontario, and we were waiting for this one document. Couldn't get it. Waited for months for it. I was going on to see the next morning, and we went into the office, and I said, we got to have this. Everything was held up on it. And we went into the office and said, ma'am, we are here until we get this signed. It was on one lady's desk. She had to sign it and pass it on. Everything was approved, but she had to put a signature on it. I guess it was the Minister of Social Services in Newfoundland. The signature had to go on there. And we had waited for something like 4 months to get this signature on it. I said, we are here. We're not going anywhere. And she knew we were serious. We're not going nowhere until we get this. Before I go to sea tomorrow morning, we're having this piece of paper. That's what we had to do. We sat down there. And we sat there for a while, and this lady came out, and she said she was just talking to her, and you come back before 4 o'clock, we'll have it for you. Well, I said, we'll be back. But I said, we're not going nowhere until we get it. You'll have to get the police and drag us out. We're having that signature. We got back 4 o'clock, and it was ready, waiting for us. But all that stuff is part of the price that was paid. All that stuff is part of what was done to redeem, to purchase, to take out of that situation, to bring into the family. Well, everything that Jesus done for us, everything he done for us in his coming to this earth. You know, he didn't have to come here for himself. He created this place. He's the one who designed it all and put it all in place. You look at the stars on a starry night and you see the sky and everything that's there. He put all that there. He didn't come here for himself. He came here for you and me. He came here for you and me. Let me say this. You believe everything the Word says about God? If you believe everything the Word says about God, believe everything the Word says about you as well. Because every word of it is true. Because everything he done for us. Everything he done for you and me. Everything he done, that price that he paid was for us. He came for us. He died for us. He rose again for us. He ascended to heaven for us. He's seated at the throne of God for us. He's interceding for us. It's all for us. He's done it for us. We are so special in his eyes. We are so special in his eyes. In whom we have redemption. Number six. We're going to get through this. Number six. Wherein he had abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. He had abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. And I'm going to not go to some scriptures. You can look them up. I'll give them to you. Let me see what I had written down here for that one. 1 Corinthians 1:30. You can go and look there. God has made to us wisdom. But let me talk about it. He has abounded to us in all wisdom. I like to read that verse and I think about a big bouncing ball. And someone throws it and it's coming towards us. And look, you can't stop the thing. It's just coming at you. He's bouncing it. He's bouncing it toward us. In all wisdom and prudence, he has given us wisdom. What's that? He has given us wisdom. And I wrote this down. I said, wisdom enables good decisions in regard to our future. You see, he has that plan. He has that purpose for us. He has our lives laid out. He has everything. He wants us to be a success. He wants us to do what he's called us to do. God didn't create anybody to be a failure. You know that? He created us to be successful. And the secret to that success is His will, which we understand through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. So He has created us to be a success. He has given us wisdom. And that wisdom enables us good decisions in regard to our future. And what's prudence? And I wrote this down. Prudence is applying that wisdom to use it at the best time to secure God's perfect will for your life. So wisdom and prudence. Wisdom is giving us the understanding. Here's the best way forward. Here's what to do for your life. He reveals the truth to us through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. And prudence is the understanding to apply that wisdom at the perfect time so that God's perfect will for our life is carried out into the future. I tell you, folks, there's nothing He's left out. He's covered it all for us. He's covered it all for us in every area. He has covered it all for us. Wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, number 7. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. And then verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one thing, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him. So He's made known to us the mystery of His will. He's talking about there, I believe He's talking about there two things. From two aspects. The mystery of His will for us now, in this life. Now I want you to understand something about God's Word. I have heard people say, well, it's hard to understand. I can't grasp it. I can't get that. When the Holy Spirit inspired Paul and Peter and John and Luke and the ones that wrote the scripture, when He inspired them to write, don't get a picture in your mind. He wasn't looking at them and giving them this to write and saying, they'll never figure this one out. Let me put it this way. They'll never get this one. He wasn't trying to hide it away from us. He wasn't, trying to be cruel in that way where I'm going to write this, but I'm going to put it in such a way they'll never understand it. I keep that just so we can understand this, just so the Godhead can get it. That's not. And you notice people who think that the Bible is like that. It's not. It's not. It's not. The Bible is a book written to us to guide and direct us in our life. And it's written, it applied, it was relevant in 100 AD. It's relevant in 2200 AD. It was relevant when they plowed the ground with oxen. It's relevant today when you use a combine to go and plow the ground. And you've got satellites going around the globe and space, everything going on in space. It's relevant for all people around the world for all time. That's what the Bible is. And God has made His Word clear to us. He has given us. We just got to get in there, read it, consume it, get it in our heart. And like they say, it's the only book when you read it, the author is on the scene. The Holy Spirit shows up and He breaks it. He just puts it in our heart and in our spirits. Dig into it and read it. He'll make it come alive in your life. And don't just read it once. You don't just read it once. Read a chapter and say, oh, I've read that one. I'll read that one maybe 10 years from now. Every time you read it, you'll make something else come alive in there. It's a living book. It's a living word. Its truths never change. Its truths are the same forever. Its truths will never, ever change. But it's alive. And every time, it's like you're digging in the ground. And every time you put in a shovel, you get something else. You get something different. You're digging for diamonds. Or you're digging for amethyst out there. You get a nicer piece as you dig. And the deeper you go, the nicer it gets and the sweeter it gets. The mystery of His will. Also that part. Mystery for now. But I believe it's also the future. Because He has given us an incredible future. We have so much to look forward to that's written in His Word. If you come to Bible school and sit in the eschatology class, it'll knock your socks off what God got for us. It is awesome what's coming down the road for us, for the blood-bought, for the church. We got a glorious future. We got a glorious future. Life is just not here and now for a few years. We live forever. We live forever. The question is the location that you live forever. That's what you want to be sure of. But I'm going to tell you, if you're on work, walking on God's side, and if you're in His plan and walking in His will for your life, your future is bright. Your forever is bright. It would blow your mind what's in God's word for it. The mystery of his will. Number verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We have obtained an inheritance. We've been given an inheritance, our eternal future. We have an inheritance in the heavens. There's a place prepared for us. There's a future prepared for us. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance in the heavens awaiting us. And it is an awesome future he's talking about here. For the blood bought for the church of God. Guys, don't get too... How am I going to say this? The things that you have here, the things that you're dealing with here, let me get something here. Don't grasp it too tight. Don't grasp it like that. Hold it very lightly in your hands. Just hold it very lightly. The things that you have here, you got it for a few years. This is not the forever scene. This is not the forever thing. The Bible tells us the things that we see are temporal, but the things that we don't see now is what's eternal. This stuff that we see here, it's good. We enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy it. He's given it to us. But remember, we live on a cursed earth because of the fall, because of what of Adam's sin, because of what took place. It was Adam sold out what God had given him dominion over, sold out to Satan, and he took it. And the Bible tells us he's the God of this world. Hold on to it lightly. Hold on to it lightly. Our inheritance. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. There has never, I don't care how wealthy anybody has been that have passed away, there has never been an inheritance left to anybody like we are going to receive from our Heavenly Father and our elder brother Jesus. Never. Nothing that even compares or comes close. There's nothing there that we could ever look at and say, well, that's similar to what I'm going to get. No. Nothing even close. We have an inheritance that's unspoiled in the heavens that the curse and sin and devil cannot touch or destroy. That's going to be eternal forever. That's ours. And it's the greatest adventure that you could begin to imagine that's awaiting us, that God has planned for us. Everything that we see when we look out into the night sky, he created for us. It's awesome. We've been given an inheritance. Let me tell you something. 100,000, 500,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 years from now tonight, you're still going to be alive. We're still going to be around. Not in this old body. We're going to have one that the devil got no control over. We're going to have one that's not going to decay. That's not going to have any problems. The hair is not going to get gray like mine is getting. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to get the wrinkles. I'm not going to get the gray beard and all this stuff and the back aches and all that stuff. That's all gone. But we are going to be around forever and ever and ever enjoying what God created for us. You see, God didn't create man to die. That was not in God's creation. Death is not from God. Understand that. Death is not from God. Evil is not from God. Sickness is not from God. All the woes of this world, the immorality and all the stuff that's taking place in this world is not from God. That came with the fall. That's from Satan. That's where it came from. The great counterfeiter. God is good. All the time. Amen? We've been given an inheritance. Last one. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What does that mean? That simply means all that I just talked about, what's coming, we have been given the Holy Spirit as a deposit. In our business, we deal with some heavy engines and generators and different stuff. And we just had a big old generator that got shipped off today that was 1,250 kilowatts. It would light up half in the evening. And we did work on it for a company. Well, then when it pissed on, and it meant we had to go and spend a lot of money and buy a big generator in the United States to bring up. And so I said, okay, yeah, sure, we'll do it. But we want a deposit. We want to make sure you're going to get this, you're going to carry this through. No problem. So we did up the sales agreement, did up the paperwork. They gave us a deposit, and we did the work. That's what this is simply talking about here. We have been given a deposit on what's to come. We have been sealed. Bible says right here, the earnest. We have been given a deposit on what is to come, on the inheritance. We've been given a guarantee. Your inheritance is there. Your inheritance is sure. And there's the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and live inside of you. And there's just a little taste. Some of you were at Raymer a while back, a camp meeting. We didn't get down. We're going to do the Winter Bible Seminar. But we, of course, spent 2 years there. And I know what it's like to be in that atmosphere at Raymer. It is awesome. It is awesome to be there, and just the Spirit of God is flowing and everything is moving, and you feel like you're going to be raptured to heaven at any moment. That's just a little deposit. That's just a little bit. That's just the guarantee of what's to come, of the inheritance that is to come. Praise God. It is awesome, folks. It is absolutely awesome. I wish I could describe it to you. I can't. There's not enough words in the English language to describe what the Bible is talking about there. You got to get it down in your spirit. You got to get it down in your heart. You got to see. I could probably tell you in tongues, but I can't tell you in English. Whew. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've been given the deposit of what is to come, of all that He is to us, of all that He is to us. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've been chosen. We've been predestined and adopted into the family. We've been accepted into the beloved. We are loved as much as God loves Jesus. We've been redeemed. He's bought us back. He has purchased us. He's given us wisdom and prudence. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. We've obtained an inheritance, and He has guaranteed that with the Holy Spirit. 9 things that God has done for us. We are a privileged, awesome, loved people tonight. Oh my goodness. Anyone wouldn't want to be a part of this? I don't know. There is nothing else on this earth. And this is where religion fails. Religion, you got to do all this stuff and try and get your way to God. And you got to try to be good enough. And you got to try to do this and do that and do these steps and take part in this and do that. And maybe God will like you, and maybe He won't. And you get there. I've been around the world a little bit, and I've seen some stuff around the world. And it is heartbreaking to see some of it, the darkness that people are in. And they're trying to claw their way up to God. There's an hunger inside the heart for God. The relationship with Jesus, what we've been given. What Paul has talked about here in Ephesians is the exact opposite to what religion will do. We are in a position where we couldn't help ourselves when He came and done it all for us. And now we just make a decision, yeah, I want to be in that family. I want to be in that family. Rhea, you want to be in that family, don't you? You want to be in this family. You're not going anywhere. She has that decision. She has that decision. She can get up tomorrow morning and say, I've had enough of the Hussey family. I'm going on somewhere. I'm going to leave and go somewhere. I mean, we want her to live her own life and do our thing, yeah. But she can make a decision. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. That's a decision. And God has left every individual. We are not robots. We are not machines. The touch of sovereignty that God has placed upon man is man's will. And we have a will. We can decide how much we want to take part in what Christ has given us. We can decide how much we want to be a part of Ephesians chapter 1 there and the things that God has done for us. Amen? Amen. God is a good God. I want to do one more thing tonight before I finish. I don't know. I think I know almost everyone in the room, but if there's someone there and you're not in the family, or if you're online, and you're not part of the family, you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? There's no more exciting, awesome, peaceful, joyful life to live than to walk in the fullness of what Christ has done for mankind and to be a part of that family. I want us all to stand up for a minute, and I'm going to lead everybody in a prayer. And if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, and this is the first time you're doing this, I want you to let one of us know. If you're online, then just send a note, make a phone call, let us know that you've done it. Very simple prayer. The Word tells us, if we believe in our heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess it with our mouth, we would be saved. And that's what we're going to do in those final few moments. God in heaven, I want you to repeat after me. God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Jesus, I ask you now, come into my heart, forgive all my sin, make me clean and new on the inside. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I'm a part of the family of the ages, and I will live my life to love and serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let somebody know. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to all the spiritual blessings. Welcome to everything that God has done for us in Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.